meeting to order.
By salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Roll call.
Director Sedania?
Here.
Director Ohilski? Director Tornowski?
Here.
Vice President Millage?
Here.
And President Storm?
Here. Okay. Announcement of closed session items.
There will be two items on closed session. The first item will be conference with legal counsel in regards to a liability claim. Claimant is Jason Zatt. And the second item will be conference with labor negotiators.
Guys. Okay, it's 7 o'clock. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This time we would ask you to join us in a moment of silence for any of those that may have been lost recently or you'd like to remember at this time. Thank you very much. If we can have the roll call, please.
Director Sesania?
Here.
Director Ohilski?
Present.
Director Tornowski?
Here.
Vice President Millage?
Here.
President Storm?
Present.
Thank you.
This time, can we have the report out of closed session?
Yes, Mr. President. There was no reportable action from closed session.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we will have the election of the 2018 Board President and Vice President. So if I recall, the way we do this is we start with President, and we open for nominations. Director Tornowski.
I move that the board elect Vicki Millage as the 2018 president of the Los Osos Community Service District Board of Directors.
Okay, we've got one for Vice President Millage. Any other nominations? Okay, we'll close nominations at this time. Do we vote anyway? Public comment. I just want to make sure that do we vote? Or do we move? What do we do now?
I think with only one nomination, you can vote by acclamation instead of by ballot.
Okay. So that's what we'll do after public comment. Opening for public comment. Okay.
Richard Margetson. I had a problem last year how a brand new director who's attended very few of the CSD meetings, subcommittees, all of a sudden became vice president, and over the course of last year held the least amount of committee meetings she was responsible for during the year, and being generous may have actually spoken 300 words at these meetings in total last year. I personally don't know where she stands on anything. I don't know where she stands on any issue in this district because I have never heard her lead a discussion in front of this board or for this board on a topic or have an opinion that swayed a position or moved a position. And now you're moving her to chair? There's other qualified people on this board to assume the chairmanship of this CSD. And just on a little side note, other than Marshall now, Chuck's three-time elected. Why isn't Chuck chair of the CSD? one of these years. Don't get it. Don't get it. Don't get why you're just going to go ahead and do this. I don't think things are going to change. And I still say I have no idea what she stands for. I don't know what she's led on, and I don't know what she's going to lead on in the future.
I'll second that 100%. I don't get it either. How can somebody be on the CSD for more than 15 minutes, be vice president, and then apparently... I see the position up here becoming chairman. It's very conspicuous of something going wrong here. Yes, we have other people on the board that are much more qualified and are due respect or have earned the privilege of being chairman.
Lynette Tornotsky. I think people are forgetting that Vicki was the chairperson of a wild and woolly LOCAC for 7 years, and I think that certainly should count for something. I think she knows how to lead a meeting. She has the psychology to keep things calm, and I really believe she ought to be the president. Thank you.
Julie Tacker, and for probably the first time in my life, I wasn't going to say anything about this because I didn't think anything I would say would make a difference. And it may still not make a difference, but I can't let the comments that preceded my coming to the podium on this go not underscored in Mr. Margetson's comments. But I also have to say, the wild and woolly LOCAC, that's a reflection of leadership. When the chair can't control the meeting, things get wild and woolly. So I beg to differ with the characterization that somehow her chairmanship of LOCAC was successful. I don't know how many times we've visited the McDonald's project and we still came up with a nightmare project. That's just one instance. The wastewater project was a whole nother fiasco. The strengths on this board, as I see them in a chairman, are sitting right here, Marshall Ohilski and Chuck Cecenia. These two gentlemen have invested the time in knowing the issues and standing up for this community. Chuck is a scientist, and in light of the issues that face Los Osos with regard to water and fire and habitat and development and all those things, I lean towards a scientist at this time in our community. I have appreciated Chuck's work, and I would like to see one of you make another motion. Do something. Have a debate. This roll over and just hand the chair to Vicki, and like Richard said, Vicki has not spoken at a board meeting. She nods and votes, but she doesn't explain her vote or what she stands for on any of the issues. I think that actually might be a fun assignment, to go back and count how many words she's spoken in the course of a year. It'd be interesting. I'm not going to waste my time. But stand up for this district. Put someone in a leadership role that sees that financials are on time, and it's...
Thank you.
Hey, you're
Your
welcome.
Your time is expired.
You're welcome.
Your time is expired. Any other public comment? Okay. Any further discussion from the board? I'll just say I think it's interesting that people seem to think that being the chairperson is like being sainted, or that this is some sort of reflection of, I don't know what you think it is. It's you run the meetings, and you go to extra meetings and set the agenda. It's not it's a more work than it is any kind of power or privilege. It's just a role on a board. And anybody, it's interesting, anybody who would think it was something other than that, anybody that would use it as something to lord over someone with, and that's suspect to me. Really, the job of the chair is to sort of, like I said, set the agenda, help the staff prepare the agenda packet, and run the meeting. It's not really a power thing. So anyway, I would just like to say, before we close this out, that it has been an honor being the president and running the meetings and getting to talk a little bit extra, as I always like to do. And it's a nice way to sort of not close out my time on the board, but, you know, round it down, since I'm not going to be running for re-election again. I've already done 4 years right now. And so after that election, I still have a year left. So I'm looking forward to having an interesting year sort of sitting on the sidelines and not being one of the officers for a change, because I think that's almost a more interesting role, quite frankly, because you kind of are brought things at first impression when they come out in the meetings most of the time, since due to the Brown Act and the other people doing the agenda. So I find that interesting. And I mentioned before that one of the things that I wanted to work towards was some of our local control issues, and certainly anybody who, of the many qualified citizens in town who would like to run to fill my seat, be happy to support them if they would, like to pick up that torch. So anyway, that's my little spiel for now, and with that, I will bring it back to the board. And do we have any further discussion?
Yes, I really didn't get the opinion that anybody was talking about any kind of power grab. I thought they were talking about experience and leadership. Yeah.
Well, those are very subjective traits. So you can look at it that way, and we'll just have to agree to disagree.
Well, maybe I could just finish what I was going to say.
Maybe.
Yeah. Wow. You're right. Maybe that's the reason I'm not asking for the job, is because I realize that it's a lot more work than glory. But you do set the agenda, and that's very important charge that you have. And I would like to make sure that the agendas are progressive, that we're dealing with issues that maybe we don't agree with the county on, but we have to bring these things forward. There's a four contracts to pump water out to dryland farmers coming up. I would like to see our board take a stand against that kind of thing. Yeah, that's all.
Well, and I understand that, and you're still just one of five, and so you can put something on the agenda, and it doesn't mean anybody else is going to vote for it. And certainly in my time, I tried to respect anybody's request to put anything on the agenda, whether or not they had the power to do it. And, certainly three directors have the power to put something on the agenda or do anything else that they want to do. So if there's something that we're not bringing up, then we should do that. And I agree with that. I don't think that's a matter of doing or not doing something. So.
Well, my comments weren't a reflection on the past year. They were a reflection on the next year.
I understand what you're saying, and I would hope that tradition would continue of having a very open, an open door about what we're going to discuss. So anyway,
I think that was one of the reasons that you added the future agenda items to the list. So the directors can bring things to the board's attention that we want to have addressed in the future. So I've always thought that future agenda items, which is always the last item on our agenda, is an important thing, where if, as Chuck mentioned, you want to he wants the board to consider taking a position on the dryland farmers, then I think it's something that is brought up during that time and then can be added to the agendas. So I haven't seen where there's been an issue that's been raised that hasn't gotten on the agenda or hasn't been addressed, at least. So I think that that's, I like that item on the agenda. So.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, so what do? Do we move? Do we vote?
You can do a voice vote by acclamation at this point in time.
Okay, voice vote by acclamation. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Abstentions? Okay.
Make it a no.
Okay. Congratulations.
Chuck was a no.
Yes.
I mean, Director Sassine.
Would you? Okay. So, do you want to do the vice president? Okay. All right. So I'll stay on until we do. Until I can move somewhere. So we'd like to open for nominations for vice president. I'll nominate Marshall. I agree he's got a lot of experience, and he's our well of institutional knowledge, and he won't be facing an election this year. Any other nominations for vice president? Okay, let's have public comment. Oh, I thought you liked Marshall.
I'm not going to endorse anybody for vice president, but I will say I want somebody to take the chair of the ESC. I want someone to be appointed by the new president, maybe in consultation with the vice president, but I'm telling you, a year has gone by and we've had 3 emergency services committee meetings. We had a work plan. We never followed through with the work plan at the ESC. We have, just this last week, a very important community meeting about the risk of wildland fire in the Morro Dunes Ecological Reserve. These are subjects, along with our level of service and 4-0 staffing, these are subjects that didn't get touched. So while things may have gotten on your agenda, we simply had a complete shutout of the volunteers for the Emergency Services Committee and any interested public that would have attended a meeting. So my advocacy is to see that who's ever in the leadership role of the chair, because not only do they run the meetings, but they do make appointments for ad hoc committees and committees, they, whoever that person or those people decide they are going to appoint someone who's willing to have monthly meetings and follow through with the work plan and the vision of the Emergency Services Committee.
Any other public comment on the vice president? See? That was a sick burn. Get it.
I think your nomination and the way you've done this and snubbing other members of the board just shows your lack of professionalism as a leader. Thank you.
Oh, I thought you liked me. Any other public comment? Okay, bring it back to the board. Vote by acclamation. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, I'll get there. Abstain? Okay. I am done.
Oh, I need my son. Oh, yeah.
Well timed. That was good. Now.
So, at this time, I would like to introduce Adam Guys of Moss, Levy, and Hartzman. And he is going to present us with the audit report.
Hi, my name is Adam Guys, as introduced, from Moss, Levy, and Hartzman, and I was in charge of the audit procedures that were done this year. We came out to the CSD twice this year. The first time we came out, we concentrated on testing all of the internal controls, looking over invoices and warrants that go out, employee reimbursements, credit card or debit cards, now credit cards, and payroll and receipts processes, making sure that if we had any recommendations in those, in order to improve those controls. Those recommendations were made, and we found that in general the controls were pretty strong. There are a few findings that I listed in the supplemental letter to this report. And then when we came out at year end, we went over all of the balances for all of the district's accounts and tested those balances and came to the conclusion that we can rely on the financial statements. And the financial statements that are presented, these statements, if you want to look at them and have a good start looking over them, the front section, which was written by Renee, is the management discussion analysis. This kind of summarizes everything that's contained in the statements, as well as show some comparisons with the figures that were reported in the prior year. Since those amounts aren't in the statements themselves, that provides some useful knowledge for how things have changed from year to year. And then she also included this year for the first time a statement of the various reserves that are within the fire and water fund within that management discussion and analysis. Government auditing standards, those reserves are not items that are presented discreetly within the financial statements. So she made the call that she wanted to give a little bit more disclosure and include those items as well. There are two types of funds here. There's the governmental activities, the business type activities. Your business type activities is primarily your water. There's a little bit remaining of money going in and repaying a loan within the sewer fund. Everything else is the water fund. Governmental activities, that's your admin fund, your fire fund, as well as a few other smaller funds such as drainage. The overall statements are on page 11, 12, and 13. The government-wide statements, statement in imposition and statement of activities, these include all everything that happened within all the funds of the district, as well as your capital or long-term assets and your long-term liabilities, including your net pension liability and other long-term debts. I guess just to give it kind of a good comparison, on page 6 and 7, these are the management discussion analysis has the comparison of the prior year. For the long-term liabilities and deferred outflows and inflows of resources, the biggest chunks in there, especially for the governmental activities, is your net pension liability and the deferred inflows and outflows related to it. Deferred outflow is similar to an asset And deferred inflow is similar to a liability. It's a future cost, whereas the deferred outflow is a future credit to the district. Deferred outflows of resources, the main thing in here is your current year, 2016-17 payment that was actually made on your pension. That does not directly offset the net pension liability until the next year. So that's where it shows up in that deferred outflows of resources. Again, there's more information on that within the pension note. On page 16, this is the income statement for your governmental type funds, the admin fund, the fire fund, and the other funds. As you can see, there was a positive change in fund balance within the fire fund and the other governmental funds. The admin fund had a negative change in fund balances and actually ended up with a very small negative fund balance. Basically, your admin fund is there to cover a lot of the shared costs of the district, and it's paid for by transfers in from the other funds. So the admin fund, you kind of want to be right around a zero fund balance. Otherwise, if the fund balance is too high, that means you're transferring more into the admin than is needed. So while that is a negative fund balance, that's kind of a cyclical item. On page page 31, this shows where all the investments of the district are. And most of your investments are within the money market accounts, the money market account for the bond, as well as the district's general money market account. And then your other investments in LAIF and a small amount in a CD. These are relatively safe investments designed to get a small interest rate, but maintain those balances without having much risk of losing balances if the market takes a turn. On page 33, this is all of your capital assets for both the governmental and business type activities. Again, business type is your water fund. You can see what occurred within your capital assets. Basically, you had a few additions to the water fund for some construction work that was done. In the governmental activities, there was only one addition, and that was some equipment in the fire fund. Now, there is a $100,000 deposit in the fire fund on a fire vehicle. That is not yet reflected in the capital assets, and it is also not included in the fire fund expenses. It will not be expensed until that vehicle is actually acquired, which I think was supposed to be pretty soon. Has that come in yet, or a couple weeks? So there is another $100,000 sitting there in a deposit that will be expensed in the current fiscal year that actually has already gone out of the district. Note 5 on page 34, this is your long-term liabilities, and you can see how the compensated absences, that's mostly your vacation accrual, changed during the year. Overall, compensated absences went down a little bit. On the water fund, your loan payment is the deduction here. The more interesting one, the net pension liability, these amounts went up a little bit this year, and that has a reflection on how CalPERS investments did in 2015-16. CalPERS investments did do better in 16-17, so you shouldn't see that net pension liability go up as much in the current year. Let's see. The rest of the notes, we have a lot of information in here on all the information within the pension plan. Again, most of this information is historical data based on what happened in 15-16, except for on page 36, the district contributions subsequent to the measurement date, the $89,855 there towards the bottom of the page. That was the amount paid out to CalPERS during the year. You also see that number reflected later on in the schedule of contributions as well on page 47. Your budgets for your admin fund and your fire fund are on page 43 and 44. These show how both of the funds did compared to both the original and the final budgets of the district. Again, part of that on the fire fund, part of that capital outlay amount savings or amount under budget is because that fire vehicle was not acquired during the year. So even that $100,000 that was paid out is not included in this capital outlay figure because it's a deposit. And then getting to the letters. So there were three findings that we issued to the district this year. The first finding was accounting for the fiduciary fund. This is your fiduciary fund for the payment of the wastewater bond. Basically, anything having to do with the payment of that bond needs to be recorded within that special fund for it, and keep other kinds of district costs out of that fund. The district response here basically was that the bookkeeping service has been educated and they are making sure that everything's properly accounted for. The compensated absences finding, this was in January, the district switched from doing their own payroll to using the ADP service. And when they did that, the compensated absences feature within ADP was not set up at that time. And so the ADP system was not automatically tracking compensated absences accruals and use of compensated absences. Those were tracked on the side, and in the district's corrective action plan, it is noted that by August of 2017, that was reconciled, and the district is fully using the tracking within the ADP system now. The final one on page 4 of the letter is regarding payroll. And basically, there was a board approval for a district reorganization that included changing two employees to a slightly different position and rate of pay. And my recommendation there is anytime any kind of adjustment or reorganization such as that is done, that a new salary schedule for the district is created and approved by the board along with it, just for increased transparency and board approval of the new pay rates. So that reorganization and those pay rates were approved by the board, but the salary schedule was not included in that packet, basically. I also wanted to say that it's always a pleasure working with Anne and Renee, and Adrienne was, I mean, she came in just a short period of time before we came in for our year-end audit and did a great job in getting everything together for us to see and getting a lot of the closing entries completed so that we had good numbers to audit, and I appreciate that. That's it for my presentation, and I just wanted to open it up for if there's any questions.
Thanks. So do we have any questions from the board or discussion?
Could you touch on the two tables that need to be amended?
So there is one amendment that is needed that was pointed out by Chuck. The principal amounts in these tables are correct, so the financial statements in the front all have the accurate values. However, the interest in future years in the table on page 34 and also on page 42. I'm not sure exactly what happened with these interest tables, but those are only one of the two annual interest payments. So those tables we will revise tomorrow morning and get both payments added in there. So basically each of those interest amounts is about half of what the interest payment will be. Thank you, Chuck.
Anything else?
On page 18, under the water fund, that's my committee, loans payable, about two-thirds of the way down the page, is $3,515,637. Is that our iBank loan, the infrastructure loan for the water department?
That is the infrastructure loan, and that's the non-current portion. So the total amount of that loan is that loans payable plus the loans payable of $156,000 a few lines up.
Okay.
That $156,000 is the 17-18 principal payment, not the interest, just the principal portion, and then the rest of it is that $3.5 million.
Okay, and that would get us up to the $3,671,746 given on page 9.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other board discussion?
We had a presentation at Financial Advisory Committee meeting on Monday, and there was just a few questions, but complimentary to the audit. So just wanted to put that on the record.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Then I would like to open this for public comment.
Taller than I am. Julie Tacker, and my question is not really for Adam, it is for the district. And I don't know if I'll ever get this answer because I've asked it now 3 years running. In the last three audits, there have been findings with regard to payroll anomalies, compensated absences issues. The 2015-16, Jim Erb sent your board a letter and told you that you needed to be reimbursed for any monies that you had paid to your employees that weren't earned. My question is, and it applies to now each year that there's been anomalies, whether the money was earned or not, maybe the district shorted the employee, whatever it is, whether, you know, one way or the other, the district paid too much or the district paid too little, those need to be resolved. It needs to be equal. The district needs to be paid back, or the employee needs to be paid. So I'd like to know if that's been done these last 3 years running, where there's been mistakes, then they were caught, and did everybody get reimbursed or compensated accurately?
Richard Margetson, since I didn't make it back in town for the finance meeting and I only have 3 minutes, I'm going to hit a couple issues. In the letter from Moss Levy under the reports on financial statements, it says, management is responsible for the preparation and fair presentation of these financial statements in accordance with accounting principles generally accepted in the United States, blah, 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 blah. And then further, it says, we believe that the audit evidence we have obtained is sufficient and appropriate to provide a basis for our audit opinions. In our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material aspects the representative financial position of the government activities, the business type activities, each major fund, and the aggregate remaining information to Los Osos Community Center as of June 30th, 2017. If you turn to page 16 of the audit. One example. There's tons of things through this thing, but I'm going to focus on this. I'd like somebody to give me a definition of what a material impact to the district would be in the financial statements. Under the fire fund, under expenditures, the contract services, that's the Schedule A, $1,874,609. That's not the payment we made to CAL FIRE or were required to make to CAL FIRE for Schedule A for that year. It was $1,994,460, something like that. That's a $120,000 difference in your expenses, which translate further down that column to your net fund balance is no longer $237,000, and your fund balance at the end of June 30th is no longer $2,138,000. Is that not considered a material fact? And how does that flow through the rest of the financial statements? My time's running out. I have other things. But this audit should not be accepted tonight. It should go back to finance. It should go back to the committees. And, you know, if the Emergency Services Committee had met, public comment would have found this before tonight. This is a $120,000 material fact that is absolutely, it's not my opinion, it's absolutely 100% incorrect, which then affects all of these statements of net position for this district. There's others. There's $50,000 issues I have.
Steve Best. I would like to address the funds that are the $300,000 that are sitting in the Parks and Recreation Fund that was originally designed or set aside as a or tax funds that were set aside for the pool here in Los Osos that have been gradually being drawn against apparently by the Parks and Recreation work for the dog park. And I'd like to get some answers on how the cost of the committee or what other fees were drawn against that those funds were being justified, drawing that fund down, if they were just administrative costs or if they were actually costs that were drawn directly against the application of putting together a dog park and how that was justified. And primarily what justifies the use of those funds for anything other than a swimming pool at this point right now. Thank you.
Any further public comment? All right. Any further board discussion?
Yes. I guess I have a couple of things that are just questions I don't even expect to get an answer to, but for one, I guess I was puzzled all along in utilities. We've been wrestling with the question of reserves and how much do we really have in reserve accounts. And I think we had a few years back set up a rate stabilization reserve account. We're supposed to get $37,000 a year put into it. And now I see it's got $256,000 in it. I don't think we've had it around that long. That boggles my mind. On page 8, of the management discussion and analysis, there's the statement, overall expenses in governmental activities decreased by $428,000. And I guess I'm puzzled about what we did that decreased governmental activities, what we provide. I don't know. That seems like a lot of money in a district that maybe has 10 times a little over that in total operating. But to get back to Mr. Margetson's point, if on page 16, the contract services amount listed $1,874,609. Is that the Schedule A, the contract, the basic contract with CAL FIRE? That's my understanding. In 2015, that contract, same page in the audit, $1,718,432. The next year, 2016, $1,907,541. Now we're back to $1,874. It doesn't go down. It never goes down. It goes up. And it went up substantially last year. And we talked about how we're going to deal with that. So is that $1,994,494 figure really the true amount? And that's $120,000 different than what's listed there. And is that material? I just found that right now because I just happen to have these two older audits, and that just bothered me. What was that number? Right? Why does it seem different than what was it in the past? And it doesn't go down.
I just have a question for Adam. I'm wondering, just regarding the fire, I'm wondering if when you were given the report, because I'm not sure the timing of when you got the report from Adrian, I'm wondering if that was prior to us fixing things with the county. We were missing property tax in both ways. There were some problems over with the county as far as property tax goes. I'm wondering if, and we don't, one of the things that Adrian explained to me was that she doesn't put money in or take money out unless she gets something from the county that directs her to do either or. And I'm wondering if the timing of when that report was printed up, if it was prior to her having the conversation with county on several different items, and I wonder if there's an adjustment after the fact. I don't know. I'm just wondering when those, that'd be something that you would talk to Adrian about.
I mean, if there was anything going back to the prior year, she should have given me any adjustments. But the initial trial balance report that we looked at was when we came out for our field books. That was right there.
October?
End of October.
No, it would have been done by then. Yeah, it would have been done by then. So that's not it.
Okay.
Director Storm?
Did this go to FAC, and if so, what did they say? If you could enlighten us on that.
Oh, yeah, it did go to FAC. Pardon me. We had the presentation, the same presentation that was given tonight at FAC. FAC had some questions, but overall was very, very pleased with the audit. So, and I think, there obviously nothing's perfect, and there's some adjustments that need to be made, as was pointed out tonight. So, but the FAC did appreciate that going to them, and they were pleased with the results of the audit.
But none of these issues were mentioned. I mean, I hadn't really noticed. I hadn't looked back at the previous audits. None of these things were talked about, particularly even the wastewater bond payment table. And I mean, so those were glaring things that were missed.
What was brought to the committee was what the committee discussed. So, I mean, I think that some things have been raised today that probably need some adjustments or refinements, but other than that, I think big picture-wise that it's fine.
And thank you. Mr. Markinson, that's enough. Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Director Storm?
No.
Okay. You're just holding that thing. All right. Okay. If there's no further board discussion, then I'll entertain a motion and a second to receive and file the audit report.
I move we receive and file the final fiscal year 2016-2017 audit report, subject to future fixes.
Subject to the adjustments we talked about today.
Yes.
And
more than that. Jesus.
Mr. Markinson. Mr. Markinson. Mr. Markinson, you are out of order. Mr. Markinson, you are out of order.
You're out of order. Fucking give a shit, will ya? You wouldn't even have noticed any of this if I hadn't brought him up.
That's true.
Mr. Margotson, leave the room. Leave the room.
$20,000 and you allow that to happen.
I didn't. Could I finish my discussion? Could I finish what I was trying
Please
to
do. Actually, if you'd start from the beginning of your comments, I'd appreciate it.
No, what I was going to say was I wasn't seconding the motion, but what I was saying is that some issues came up that need to be addressed in audit. There's some discrepancies and some adjustments that need to be made. So I don't know what the I was going to ask the auditor what the best way to proceed was, whether, I mean, given the things that are brought to his attention today, whether that's something that needs to come back to us, whether it's going to be just adjustments that they make, or how, what's the process or procedure? That was my question. So until I got interrupted.
I'm not going to answer from an accounting perspective because Adam is free to do that, but I want to remind the board and perhaps members of the public that this is an independent audit. It's not the district's audit.
I'm not trying to. I just want to ask the question to him.
And so that's why it's not something that is referred to or designed by subcommittees of this board. It's an independent audit, and your only action is to receive and file. Because of bond reporting requirements, you're going to want to receive and file before the end of January.
I understand. I'm just asking the question of how these things get addressed. That was my question.
The interest payments.
Please come to the podium. Thank you.
The interest payments in those schedules, again, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but those are only one of the two interest payments. We will revise those two schedules and get those sent out. As for the information that was brought up on the fire fund, I'd have to go back and look at the information. I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head.
Mr. Geist, would any of these changes change your opinion? I mean, the point of an audit is to get an opinion on our financial statements. Do these changes to your report, are they likely to result in a change of your opinion on our of what the opinion that you're giving us?
The fire schedule A, we know when we do our procedures, we design our procedures over making sure that the assets and liabilities are accurate. So we looked and we tied out and tested the asset and liabilities. That comes to the same fund balance that the income statement comes to. So if there's an error in the Schedule A expenses, I'm not sure what the other side of that would be, whether some of it was reported somewhere else, there was some netting that was done by the count. You know, I'm not sure where that amount would exist. I guess it is a possibility that there's an accrual or something that could affect that position in the fire fund related to the difference in Schedule A, if that is indeed a misstatement within the financial system.
Okay, so does that mean you're going to change your opinion? Is it possible that you will change your opinion?
It's possible that if that is a wrong number, that the financial statements will need to be revised for the fire fund, yes.
Okay.
I don't know the materiality off the top of my head, but that seems like a significant enough.
Well, then I will withdraw my motion for now, unless we totally talk this over a little bit.
Well, except for what Roy was saying is we have to have this approved by the end of the month because of the bonding issue. So that was why I asked the question. So I don't know if we can approve it subject to any adjustments that they feel is necessary. As Roy said, they're independent of us. So,
yeah, I guess we don't really get to
All you do is receive and file. You don't approve it or disapprove it.
I would just like them to take into account I'd like to see them take into account the comments that were made and make sure that there's no discrepancies or adjustments that need to be made. Again, given within your independent parameters, so that
we'll have to pull those payments and look into that and see what
happens. One thing you could do is receive and file it And I'm sure Mr. Geis has understood your request to look for answers. They may not require an amendment to the statement at all, because sometimes there are contractual liabilities and they're paid outside the reporting time, so the numbers can appear different when in fact they're not. And I'm trying not to play accountant, because if I did, it would be really bad. But I just made something up as an example, sir. I wasn't trying to account in this particular situation.
Well, given the time frame that we have, because of the bonding, I think that we need to receive and file this. But if it needs to come, if there's substantive changes, then I think we need to address those when they come back. If they're just adjustments, you know, numerical adjustments, then, you know, it's good as is. But, and I do appreciate the fact that they came to FAC. So I don't know, I would support your motion with that understanding.
Why don't you make one? I withdrew mine, and I don't know exactly what you want, so you can put it.
Well, I'm just
way.
Saying that we receive it, file it, subject to any adjustments that need to be made based on the conversations that we had tonight. That's what my point would be.
Okay.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Saying opposed?
Opposed?
Opposed. I don't know where to file it if it's not accurate.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Public comment for items not on the agenda.
Could I make one other?
Yes, of course.
We are having the Financial Advisory Committee meeting in a week and a half, so if that timing works for you, you could bring it back. I mean, Renee could bring it back to our committee then, so.
Okay. Yeah.
I'd just like to have the opportunity to talk about it as much as possible.
Thank you.
Public comment for items not on the agenda?
Yes.
Is that where we're at?
Okay, that's where we're at.
That's why I'm here. Julie Tacker. And Chuck touched on it earlier tonight. The county is ready to proceed with delivery of recycled water to 4 dry land farmers. The votes at the Basin Management Committee need to be unanimous. And I'm going to suggest that the Los Osos CSD use your vote to stop the delivery of recycled water to dry land farmers. Say no to wasting water. We champion conservation. We say every drop counts, but if you don't walk the walk, then why talk the talk? Stop those contracts. I hope your Basin Management Committee report later tonight can explain exactly what's going on there. But some of what I understand that the county says the reason they're going to proceed and why they can't stop now is that they would need a coastal development permit amendment. So what? Justify it and go get it. That's your job. That's their job. They also suggest that there are lender concerns. The monies that were loaned to build the project may be at risk. You've got the money. You built the project. Make your payments. The lenders aren't going to care. They promised the farmers by drafting these contracts and coming into, you know, these agreements. Well, no farmer has paid for one drop of water. So back out of the contract. They suggest that this is a safety valve should we have too much water and we have to get rid of it somewhere. Well, that's what Broderson is. Broderson is our safety valve. I call it the guinea pig theory of using dry land farmers, to entice the wetland farmers, irrigated ag, as a reason to give the water to the dry land farmers is ridiculous. The reason we can stop this, will you let me finish, please?
Finish.
Because I'll be back.
Yeah, finish your sentence, please.
The reason we can stop this is because we have changed circumstances. The wastewater facility is treating less than 500,000 gallons a day.
Thank you.
And adaptive management.
Thank you. You've gone over your time. Thank you.
And I'll go shorter next time.
Thank
or I'll
you.
Be back with the same subject because it's better come
Please
up in
down.
The basin management
Please
committee
sit down.
Discussion.
Thank you so much. Lynette Tornotsky. I was at the chamber today, excuse me, and apparently this is for people who are going to the meeting tomorrow night, the chamber installation. The invitation apparently had an incorrect room number for where the meeting is going to be held, so I thought I would say something about that. An email went out to a lot of people, but I know there's still other people that do not know this information. So the new room number is 5400. The parking lot you want to park in is parking lot 2. They have reserved that parking lot, so you will not have to pay anything. And so I just wanted to get that information across. And also I see on the agenda there's supposed to be a LOCAC report, and there isn't going to be one because there was no LOCAC meeting. We gave the report at your last CSD meeting in December, and the next LOCAC meeting will be next Thursday. And also, to continue, maybe since Marshall was there, the Basin Management Committee meeting, Mark Hutchinson said there was only about a year left on the contract, so the expense of trying to get all the legal things done to stop those contracts that only have 1 year left on them, going to and amending the CDP and going to the Coastal Commission and whatever legalities, I'm sure there would be a lot of them, seems like it would be very expensive. And where would that money come from? They did the budget, and yesterday, and there didn't seem to be a whole lot of money left over for contingencies like this. So perhaps when Marshall gives his report, he could explain further what Mark Hutchinson said. Thanks.
Steve Best. I would like to know what the CSD is going to be looking at and doing in the upcoming year regarding the community plan. According to the county is going to be looking at the CSD as the provider of potential sites and property and easements and locations for parks and trails and so forth. For Los Osos, it's also going to be and what is the basically what is the CSD doing to secure the future of this town for its residents without giving it over to developers? You know, one of the reasons why we went and put the sewer in was so that we would be able to justify taking the moratorium off the building requirements. And what we're doing with our water currently is putting it up there in Broderson and going into the other locations. And my concern is that is justification for opening the doors for more construction and building. And we haven't done anything to secure the quality of life in this town as far as what we're going to be doing is for parks, open spaces, hiking, biking, and access trails so our children can get safely to and from school. Seniors can get to and from their residences to the stores and to open spaces or just going out for a walk. There are a number, you know, the quality of life is important here, and that's part of the community plan. And I'd like to know what the CSD is doing in regards to the community plan.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on. Chief Spinharney.
Good evening, Madam President, Mr. Vice President, honorable board members. My name is Steve Spinharney. I'm the Coastal Division Chief for CAL FIRE San Luis Obispo County Fire Department. Greg Alex could not be here tonight. This week he is at a training course up in our academy in Ione. I'd like to give you the staff report for Station 15. So the month of November, Station 15 responded to 106 calls, 77 of those medical aids, 12 of those incidents reported as fires, 17 as public service assists. Throughout the month of November, Station 15 accepted applications for a part-time office assistant. Interviews took place in December, and then we hired Holly Rohner in that part-time position. Holly is doing a great job so far, acclimating and learning about her position, and we look forward to having Holly with us for a long time. On November 4th, the 2017 Reserve Firefighter Randy Caviglia resigned after 1 year of service to the community of Los Osos. Randy accepted a permanent firefighting position with Los Angeles County Fire Department. We wish Randy a bright and successful career. During the month of November, Station 15, in cooperation with KSBY Television and the San Luis Obispo County Benevolent Association, continued the Operation Santa Claus and the Season of Hope charity events. On November 4th, Station 15 hosted a party at the station for two brothers, ages 9 and 6, who are the winners of the Stamp Station game at the Fire Safety Fair in October. The boys are invited with friends to enjoy a pizza party along with a tour of the fire station and the engines. On November 6th, 7th, and 9th, Station 15 hosted the Sunnyside Preschool on a station tour of approximately 18 children, ranging from ages 0 to 5. Each day, along with their parents, firefighters provided a tour of Medic Engine 15 and Medic Rescue 15, and also gave them basic fire tips. On November 16th, Station 15 staff met with 20 kids ages 3 to 5 years old at the Head Start Preschool. The firefighters talked with the kids about fire safety and how firefighters do their jobs. And on November 17th, the station staff provided hands-on only CPR instructions to 6 teenagers at a local church. On November 17th, the Station 15 staff hosted a physical ability test for 19 prospective reserve firefighter applicants. 17 of the applicants successfully passed the oral interviews that were held on November 12th, with 8 of those applicants being selected to continue the hiring process. Those 8 applicants will now continue training, and the goal for them will to be pass their task books. And the staff at Station 15 feels very strongly that those 8 will pass that training and finish their task books off and then become reserve members. Currently, out of the 25 positions we have as reserves, 17 of those are filled. So if those 8 pass, we will have a full 25 reserve corps. And finally, the medic rescue. So last week, the medic rescue was delivered to Paso Robles. We did a final inspection of the medic rescue to make sure it came as ordered and spec'd out. We found a couple items still missing on the rescue, so they are currently working on that. We are anticipating that if they finish that work, we will accept medic rescue 15 next week. The next step, we will bring it down to the station, and the station captains will work alongside our subject matter expert, Robert Gorman, of our equipment committee. They'll line out how they want that medic rescue set up. The equipment committee will take it back, do all the work, and then we anticipate in the first week of February, we will deliver the medic rescue to Station 15, ready to go in service. End of report.
Yes, there you are. It's time for the sheriff's report.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Deputy Pete, filling in for Commander Vogue that wasn't able to make it this evening. So he asked me to come join you guys. He gave me some stats for calls for service from December 17th to January 17th. Here, our Los Osos substation responded to 221 calls for service. On the suspicious vehicle subject circumstances, we had 47 calls for services. Phone scams this month looked like mostly were the son in jail and needs bail money phone scams. We had quite a few of those. So reminding elderlies to, if they get a phone call from someone saying they're in jail and a family member, not to send them money. Theft and burglary crimes kind of had a skyrocket in them over those months. We had a large amount of thefts from unlocked vehicles in the 14th, 15th, and 16th streets in Los Osos over just after Christmas time. Morro Bay Police Department did arrest two suspects that were in possession of some of that stolen property, so we were able to link them to several of those thefts, which are still being investigated to tie them to those thefts. We also had a large incident at the 300 block of Manzanita on January 5th of 2018, where we had an individual who is well known to all of us at the sheriff's office, had made criminal threats against his neighbor. He didn't want to come out of his residence for deputies, and he had barricaded himself in the residence. We were able to call in our crisis negotiators, who after about 3 hours of speaking with him were able to get him to surrender peacefully, and we weren't having to use any kind of force or cause injury to anyone at that scene. So we were glad for a good resolution to that without anyone getting hurt. It was a pretty serious incident. We also, on December 21st, the Rexall drugstore was burglarized just after midnight. The Morro Bay Police Department also had a burglary that evening at one of their local pharmacies, as well as the Arroyo Grande Police Department. So all of those burglaries are still under investigation. It looks like they probably are all tied together. And Commander Vogue didn't tell me, but I know that Arroyo Grande Police Department does have some evidence that they recovered, so hopefully we'll be able to solve those crimes. I know a couple years ago we had some similar incidences to that where we had a crew coming over here from Fresno doing pharmacy burglaries. Also, over the last month, we've deployed 30 deputies. I think we're on our fourth round now of going down to Montecito mudslides, as well as our search and rescue team, and a lot of deputies actually from our station. So we've really been kind of shorthanded in assisting them with whatever needs they need, the Santa Barbara Sheriff's Office, and with their search and rescue down there at the mudslides. That's all I have. From my report from Commander Vogue, if anyone has any questions, I can answer.
No questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Madam President, Board of Directors, citizens of Los Osos. My name is Jose Acosta, Utility System Manager for CSD here, and tonight I'll be presenting you with the utility report for the month of November. If you read the report, you could see for the month of November, the production from the wells was 14.6 million gallons. That averages out to about 490 gallons per day. And that's an increase of approximately 4.94% from the previous year. If you also look at the formula that's used by the state to calculate the gallons per day per capita usage, we came up with about 65.1 gallons per day per person. That's a drop from the previous months, but still a far cry from our 50-gallon record that we set a couple years ago. So we are continuing our conservation efforts. Our messages are still getting pushed out there, and we're working on some more conservation programs. The next tables are the production and runtime hours by the well sites. As you notice, Palisades Well had a dramatic drop in production from the previous year, and we're using 8th Street and Almora a little more to make up for that production. Look at the run times, they reflect that as well. For water billing information, the next section, we had 12.12 million gallons total billed to the customers, and that brought in a revenue of approximately $197,000 for the month of November. Moving on to the Utilities Department operations and maintenance projects going on for the month of November. The operators and the staff continue doing their daily, weekly, monthly water quality sampling, analysis, and reporting for all well sites and throughout the distribution system, reporting no findings or errors in those samplings. Monthly meter reading continue going for the routes. Meter changeout program, just to touch on that real quick. They changed out approximately 72 meters within the system for the month of November. I do want to just bring up a couple notes on the meter changeout program. We started this back in 2014. I mentioned this at the UAC meeting last night. My goal is to have the staff at 100% changeout by the end of 2020 fiscal year. At that time, we'll review a new meter program for the next meter changeout program at that time. 10th Street transfer pump and motor retrofit. A while back, the district received some guidelines set from PG&E engineers making some suggestions on how to improve efficiency, use less energy, and this was one of the sites that they recommended that at. And one of the thoughts that they recommended was changing out the discharge pipe, increasing the size to help the pump run more efficiently. The operators did do that, and they also found that one of the electrical components was miswired, so they fixed that. The pump's now running a lot more smoothly, efficiently, and quieter. So in that neighborhood, we were getting some calls that it was running louder, but they seemed to have fixed that problem. So kudos to them for that. Service line upgrade at 18th Street, sorry about that. I was surprised when I got here to find out that our service lines are made of Schedule 40 when the county put them in. A lot of the service lines here are made of Schedule 40. If you're familiar with any type of plastic, that's the thinnest wall plastic that you can find. So the operators do find those. They make the repairs, they upgrade it, and they put in better quality plumbing. So we're continually doing that as well. They worked on the SCRMA safety inspection checklist that we received. You guys remember a couple months back we received a positive report from SDRMA on our safety within the district. There were a couple minor issues that the operators are notified of, and they made those corrections. I do want to bring up a webinar that I attended that's going to bring up a few more samples and work with the district. It's led in the school system. A couple years back, the state presented a bill to have the schools voluntarily request that the district sample for lead in their system. Well, now an amendment to that bill is requiring the districts, all water public water agencies, to sample for lead at school districts. This doesn't need to be completed till July of 2019, but we are trying to be ahead of the ball curve. So we have reached out to the schools, made our point of contacts, and we're hoping to do that sampling at the beginning of next school year. And we'll work that into the budget for next year. One of the other items on that webinar was new sampling for 123 TCP, trichloropropane. It's an SOC that does exist in groundwater. We did this sample back in 2014. Our numbers were nowhere near the MCL, but the state is now making mandated that everyone tests groundwater again so that they can establish an MCL on this product. So, one positive note on this webinar was one thing that they're asking all public water systems to do now is to submit service line data on all service lines within the district and any public water system for lead service lines. And if you have any, they're going to require you to change them out. I'm glad to report that our inventory reports that we have zero lines, lead lines, in our system. So we don't have to worry about that at this time. So next part of my report is the drainage. Continue working on the permits with drainage. I'm working with State Water Resource Control Board to get our permits updated and finalized, and I should have a final report for you by next month on that progress on that. The crews continue maintaining the drainage sites as we received a little rain, but we're hoping to get a lot more in these next few months. So we need to make sure those sites are ready and available to operate. The work commenced at 8th Street Drainage. We were replacing the panel and replacing the big pump there. And just a quick update on that, both have been completed as of today and satisfactorily in place and working. It was tested during the storm of last Monday and Tuesday, and we did have a hiccup, but corrected right away. And now, with that big pump in place, we should be fine, good to go. Bay Ridge Estates and Vista de Oro, not much to report there other than contracts are at the Board of Supervisors for final completion. Look at my next part of the report is the rainfall totals. The county continues not to have their chart updated, but we go in there and we calculate manually based off of daily entries on there. And we're at about .79 inches as at the end of November. But I do want to report that the storm last Monday and Tuesday of the 8th and 9th brought in 2.7 inches of rain. That was quite a bit. It hit us pretty hard, and we did have some drainage calls, but the guys responded quickly and took care of those issues. So that's all I have for my report. Do I have any questions from the board?
We'll handle those at the end.
Okay.
You want to do it now? Okay. Are there questions for the board? Excuse me. I lied to you. No questions from the board.
Thank you. Madam President, Board of Directors, letters were sent to the six applicants approved for the low-income assistance funds with guidelines on requesting bids and payment to contractors. Staff's been working on personnel policies and procedures and did the required meet and confer with SLOCIA. These are the changes in titles and positions, which will help with workflow and is important and needed change for our staff. The updated staff organizational chart is under consent agenda. Staff has been working with legal counsel on many public records requests. The Chamber of Commerce and I are working on sponsorships for the Water Conservation Award Program at this time, and the sponsorship form will be posted on the district website. At this time, I have $600 worth of promises, $100 from Grace Environmental, $100 from Hanley and Fleischman, $200 from Golden State. And I also want to announce that I just received a promise from Jen Harper for $200. So I'm very thankful for that. Thank you very much. So, yes, private citizens can also donate to the conservation program. They are all the checks will be made out to the chamber, and they're a nonprofit, so you would get a tax relief for doing that donation. Special District Risk Management has contacted us to update the current workers' compensation resolution for our volunteers. If you recall, we did that last year. We finally added our volunteers to our workman's comp. SDR and me decided to change it, and so everybody had to make this change. The resolution is 2018-02, and it's under the consent agenda. That's their version of the workman's comp resolution. Bookkeeping, auditor, staff, including fire, we've been working on the mid-year budget adjustments, and district bookkeeper Goodell and I have been assisting the auditors with additional questions. NBS report is attached to my general manager's report. Attached is the copy of the fiscal 2016-2017 continuing disclosure annual report prepared by NBS for the Wastewater Assessment District 1 Limited Obligation Improvement Bonds for Board Review. The annual report has been disseminated and required by the disclosure agreement via the electronic municipal market access and disseminate via email, facsimile, and mail to requested parties. In addition to the report, the district's audited financial statements for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2017 will also need to be filed on the EMMA website to fulfill continuing disclosure agreements. And as soon as we finalize the audit, I'll forward that to NBS for posting. And that needs to be done by January 31st, 2018. So unless there's any comments from the board on anything?
Comments or questions?
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Could we have the Chamber of Commerce report, please?
Good evening, Madam President, members of the Board of Directors, members of the public. I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. Tomorrow night is our 2018 Community Awards Dinner and Installation. It's going to be at Quesnet College. Thank you, Lynette, for giving us the change of venue on that. And so we'll be swearing in a new board of directors, and we will be welcoming General Manager Renee Osborne will be joining us. And we'll be awarding the following awards: Los Sosos Pride Award, Yolanda Waddell; 2017 Business of the Year, Back Bay Inn; 2017 Volunteer of the Year, Deborah Garcia; and 2017 Citizen of the Year, Marshall Ohilski. So we look forward to a big night tomorrow night. I want to read something real quick. I got an email today from Reverend Caroline Hall from St. Benedict's Episcopal. And she's kind of the one spearheading the warming centers. They did it a couple weeks ago, and she writes this afternoon, she wrote, "We are anticipating 39-degree temperatures Saturday night. We hope to have the community center. The schoolhouse is not an option. If the South Bay Community Center comes through, we'll need a setup crew and dinner crew at 5:30 to 7 p.m. or a breakfast and put-away crew 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. Rick and Liz Carroll have offered to chaperone overnight. So if anybody wants to get involved with the warming center, please get a hold of Reverend Caroline Hall at St. Benedict's Episcopal Church. And that's all I have.
Questions, comments from the board?
What kind of jokes are they going to tell if it's not at the mortuary?
It's going to be tough.
You got to be a little livelier.
Yeah.
Good one.
That'd probably go there. Thank you.
Yeah. I was putting together my remarks, and that was the first thing. It was like, oh, this, it was so easy last year. So we'll see.
I like Chuck's comment, though. That's good.
All right.
Any other interesting comments? Okay. Thanks. You very much. See you then. Utilities Advisory Committee report.
Utilities Advisory Committee, we met yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. Last evening, yes.
Yeah, it's all such a blur. We basically received an update from Jose on everything that's going on in the district, including a little bit more on the new building that we want to put down at the yard that would keep all of our equipment dry and provide a good storage. We had a basin management committee update, the usual things that we do. And we're still drilling down into the reserve balances so that we know exactly how we can move ahead with the capital improvement program. And that's about all I have to say.
Any comment? Then it's you. You're up.
Yes. Well, financial advisory, we met Monday, so it's been a busy week. Tuesday?
Thursday.
Oh, last week. Oh, it's been really a busy week. And we had a presentation by Adam from Moss Levy and Hartzheim. So we did go over the audit, and I already discussed that. So the items that are on our agenda tonight, the warrant register for December 2018, the committee did recommend approval of the warrants to the board. The financial reports for the period ending November 30th, the committee also recommended that the board receive and file it. And then the final revenue and expenditures report for fiscal year 2016 and 17. Recommended receive and file on that one. The committee was really, really pleased with the work that Adrian's been doing and how the reports are now much better, much readable or legible and readable and understandable, and how they've addressed all of their concerns. So they were really pleased with that. The mid-year budget adjustment, they did go over that in detail and recommended that the board approve the mid-year budget adjustments with the one item that Chuck just talked about, the water reserve monies. That would be something that would be addressed down the road here, and that would be done in conjunction with UAC and FAC. So that was the one issue that they just, it wasn't finalized at that point. And then there were some comments made regarding the, what we got and or what they reviewed, and then the, what you've got in front of you, the mid-year adjustments, those were adjusted to reflect the comments that were made at the Financial Advisory Committee meeting. So they did go ahead and recommend all of the items before them.
Questions?
Great.
All right.
And I get
so
to go
much.
Again. Basin Management Committee, which was yesterday, that I'm sure of.
Yeah.
That's a whole different question. Basin Management Committee, we did meet yesterday. In the Executive Director's report, the update that Rob gave us was that the county is going back to the State Water Board to look at an adjustment of the GSA boundaries because the Basin Management Committee doesn't believe that the boundaries of the basin, which are antiquated, reflect the true dynamics of the groundwater basin. So that adjustment was originally denied by the Water Board, the county's going back with adjustments based on additional data that they prepared. So that's the one pending item that's up there. And then we had a lot of discussion. So we had an update on the status of the Basin Management Plan infrastructure projects. Primarily at this point, the wells and the improvements that the district's making right now are the short-term infrastructure projects. We talked about how do we get this done in the long term. The second item was the annual budget. The board did approve the annual budget. Now, that budget is subject to a review and approval by the various agencies, so that's going to be an item on your next agenda, our next agenda. We need the district to approve our portion of the budget so we can move forward. The county has to approve their portion, Golden State has to approve their portion, and Sunset Terrace has to approve their portion. So that's something that will be on our next agenda. We also approved the ongoing monitoring program from Cleath and Harris, and we've talked about that. So instead of just doing points and times, it would be ongoing, so we'd be able to have a record of the different times of the year. We approved that contract, again, subject to approval of the budget by the four agencies because we don't have any money to pay them until the agencies approve that. So they're ready to go. They said it would take them about 3 months to get the initial report done, so we're hopeful to be able to get them moving forward sometime in February. We had an update on the water conservation program. The county did get approval for additional items in the water conservation program for the rebate program, and unfortunately I don't have it in front of me, but some of the things, they increased the amount of the front-loaded washers, which I believe they used to be $100, and now it's gone up to $500, I believe.
For
whatever. But they've gone up significantly. They also approved rebates for recirculating water heater systems and some other items, gray water storage in the repurposed septic tanks, not in the septic tanks, but gray water units, so if people wanted to replumb for gray water. So there's a whole number of different things that they did approve that What we're going to be doing is we're going to be sending out a mailer to the community with what the conservation efforts are and what the upgraded programs are. We're also going to have a workshop. We haven't finalized the date, but sometime, hopefully in the beginning of March, where we'll have a community workshop on water conservation and the rebate programs that are available, et cetera. So this is all being funded, it's being managed through the county. So, and last was the recycled water agreement. Now, I know this has come up twice already tonight, and I just have to say one thing. The recycled water agreements are between the county and the farmers. Neither the Basin Management Committee nor the district nor Golden State or Sunset Terrace has a say in this. So right now there's three contracts in place with three dry land farmers. There's one contract that has not been approved yet by the board. It's something that the Basin Management Committee is going to be looking at in the future. Mark Hutchinson talked about the contracts. I believe that they're for a five-year term, and after that term runs, then they could be canceled on a six-month notice. But there are three contracts already in place that the Board of Supervisors already approved. So that's just something we're going to be dealing with. It's something, if this board wants to discuss and take a position on, I think that that's something that would be appropriate. But again, it is something that's totally under the control of the county as the operator of the wastewater treatment plant. So that was pretty much it.
Thank
you. The mailing that you mentioned, when will that happen?
Pardon?
The mailing that you mentioned.
That's probably going to happen in conjunction with our March meeting.
That'll happen. Okay.
Thank you.
Mark Zimmer, well, you were there, but Mark Zimmer, who's with Golden State, volunteered to work with Rob Miller on both the informational mailer and setting up the workshop or the community session, whatever we're going to call it. So, but the timing of that is March, most likely, or the beginning of March sometime.
Thank you for that very detailed report.
I'm off the. I'm done.
Okay. You're done now? Okay.
Yeah.
Any other reports?
I attended a military emergency management training for 2 days at Joint Forces Training Base in Los Alamitos. And the people there were very complimentary of CAL FIRE and their handling of those kinds of situations and thought that we were in good hands here.
Good to know.
I had a question if we were done with these. Okay. There was a workshop held about the fire the other day. I know my wife went to that. Did anybody attend that?
Yes.
So I'd like to just get an update on, I know you were there, but could we get an update on that session, what happened there?
Mm. Lou, would you like to do that? Or I'll add.
Depending on timing, yes, I would.
Okay. First of all, it was, for some of my takeaways from it were that the young woman, well, she seems young to me, who organized the whole thing is, and her name has just flitted from my head.
Emily Miggins.
Emily Miggins, thank you so much. And she did a terrific job, and one of the impressive things was how there were representatives from the county, there were representatives from the state. There, of course, CAL FIRE was in full flower there, and it was held in their training session. The content was mostly folks. Well, the content was official content was supplied by the various speakers, and there was a great deal of interaction with folks who were attending. And they will be going forward. So for something that started with an idea from this young woman to have a meeting in her home, that there must have been, oh, golly, how many people do you think? At least 50.
Okay, thank you.
They've discussed the HCP because that is what's holding up a lot of the vacant lot owners that are not able to do their weed abatement. That's the thing that is a little bit upsetting to their neighbors, because especially with the fires, they would like for the weed abatement to get done without, having to worry about the snail. So my takeaway from it was that, especially because of the fires that just happened in Santa Barbara, that the state Fish and Game or Fish and Wildlife is picking up the pace so that they can figure out what to do, and so that they can figure out mitigation for these properties so that we can get the weed abatement done.
And can I piggyback on that for a second? At LAFCO this morning, because I have no life apparently.
Certainly not today.
What we did today was we authorized the powers for San Simeon for weed abatement. They had petitioned us because they had latent powers for weed abatement. So it's something that we may want to look at down the road. As far as the vacant lots doing weed abatement, it's something that we can assess them, and then so. But I think it's a good step, and because there's a lot of vacant lots with vacant owners that aren't in the area, and CAL FIRE can only do so much. But so that's something we may want to look at down the road, is getting weed abatement powers. I just want to lay that out.
Thank you. Excellent plan. Okay. No, there's no more public comment.
Well, not on after the reports are done.
Okay.
He gets the comment after. If anybody pulls a consent item,
yeah,
then there's comments on both.
Thanks. Michael. Okay. Any other meetings, trainings, programs? Okay.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we go ahead and receive and file the administrative committee reports, and we, pardon me, approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Wait.
Poll, and then you got a public
comment. Let's wait, because item 10 is to allow public comment on the consent agenda items before action, so we need to do that.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Does anyone want to pull any items from the consent agenda? Okay. Okay. There we go. Good. Now is the time for public comment. This is comment for items on the administrative and committee reports.
And the consent agenda.
And the consent agenda. Thank you.
This is Steve Best. I wanted to clarify a couple of things. Emily was the sole originator of the that meeting on Wednesday last week about the fire department. She was she organized putting together the supervisor, the fire chief, and the representative from Carver Hall's office, and coordinated all the other issues with finding the other alternative location for the event. She was originally going to have the event at her home. Her issues were that that entire neighborhood up there is at risk, and nobody has taken responsibility for managing the fire concerns up on behind Highland and elsewhere here in Los Osos. She took it upon herself to effectively perform her own town hall meeting, and because of the size and the interest in the event, she took it to the fire chief, and they decided to have the event at the fire station up there. I think she did an excellent job, and I think she is owed a large amount of respect from the CSD and the community for the work that she did in trying to get information out. you know, the officials that were there as invitation by Emily and the neighborhood that put the event together. So I'd like to thank publicly Emily for all the work that she did to put that together. And she did a good job with trying to raise some awareness. And the overall attention is going to be that Fish and Game or Fish and Wildlife is going to put together a survey to detect where the snails are possibly being located, and any other vegetation, plant life that is on an endangered species list, and find out if they can come in there successfully and do some thinning and removing of the contiguous fire hazard that would create a fire break between the hillsides and the homes that exist there, and that same program then can be carried on to other neighborhoods that have similar issues. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and if we had emergency services committee meetings, we could probably talk about exercising latent powers for abatement, but we've had that conversation about abatement, and there's only like four chronic evaders. The vacant lots that have habitat get exemptions from U.S. Fish and Wildlife because U.S. Fish and Wildlife doesn't want them to mow the species. So I don't think getting abatement power matters in this instance. The your reports, your financial reports, you're approving a mid-year budget adjustment. When you adopted your budget, you were going to establish loans between Vista, Bay Ridge, and the wastewater fund. You haven't done that. So where's the money coming to operate those funds, and how does that affect your mid-year? Where's that money coming from? And, you know, when are you going to rectify that? Your general manager spoke about the six letters that went to the six grantees of low-income assistance. I saw that letter, and I've really asked for guidelines to the program. There really are none other than you must hire contractors from this list that is approved by the county. The conversation that you didn't have is what kind of decommissioning are you paying for these homes? One of the goals of this district was to see that septic systems were reused. So if you had put that in your guidelines for these people to get their septic paid for, their decommissioning paid for, then you'd actually get more bang for the buck because you're benefiting the basin by getting, you know, water in the ground or whatever system you end up on. You didn't ask for that. You didn't tell them, we'll pay for your connection if you do this with reusing the system. That just makes sense. So I'd like you to have that conversation and have it quick because they're trying to hook up soon. There was an illegal water service line put under First Street, and that's since been removed, which is good. But were there any penalties? Should there have been penalties for the person who did that? And how much water went through that pipe without being metered or paid for to this district?
Okay. Now we can take. Yes, thank you so much. I have it right here. Okay. Now I'm entertaining a motion to receive and file administrative and committee reports and to approve the consent agenda. And we'll need a roll call vote on this.
My motion. Mm-hmm.
Second? Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you so much.
Vice President Ohelski?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Thank God. Director Sasania?
Yes, with the exception of 11 D, E, and F.
D, E, F. Yes, sir. Director Tornath. President Millage?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Are we going to answer any of the questions? I mean, the one about the water line under First Street, wasn't that downstream of a meter? I mean, it's not like he tapped into an unmetered line. So he paid.
Sure.
As soon as the matter was brought to our attention, we did address it right away. We followed district spec, district codes. We addressed it with the gentleman. We sent him the letter advising him to remove it immediately, which he did.
He did.
And as Director Sasania pointed out, the water was paid for through his original meter, although it was an illegal connection.
Yep.
We rectified that right away, and we followed up with him, and we told him where his faults were.
And thank you for handling the issue at 3rd and Santa Maria. There was a plumber out last week to fix the leak under that parking lot that's been flooded for months there by Nardoni's.
And I did want to address the comment about the negative balances for some of the funds. That is something that per UAC and FAC both agreed that approving, UAC agreed approving the mid-year budget adjustments with the caveat of me bringing these, some figuring out what these negative balances are. And bringing it to FAC to their next meeting, and that is something that we are currently working on. So it's not been forgotten.
Good dinner.
Sorry, I overlooked that. I might have blown this report.
All right. It's now time for item 12, our annual review of the board bylaws and rules of decorum. And John Eric, excuse me, Director Storm.
back when I was president, I appointed myself and then Vice President Millage as an ad hoc committee to review the bylaws as we do routinely. And we met and we talked about it. And aside from a few ministerial edits. There were no substantive changes that we wanted to recommend at this time. Some of the things that we could have talked about were held over from the year prior when then President Ohelski and I met with discussion of qualifications and so forth with the committees. But I think. Subsequent to that time, we had a bit of a go around on that issue, and so I think that's sort of, for me anyway, and for President Millage, we sort of left that one where it is. So we, long story short, we don't have the report of the committees. We don't have any substantive changes to recommend. There's just a few cleanup edits, but we wanted to, as normal, bring to. The board for discussion, and if you had any further suggestions, and that's my report from the ad hoc committee.
Any discussion or questions from other board members?
You say that. Excuse me. The bylaws here have some minor cleanup type things recommended, but I don't see any strike through. I don't see anything that calls attention to what.
Sure. So in the packet, if you look, just for example, we're changing 2018 from 2017 on page one. On page two at the bottom, there's an edit. I think that might have been an extra space.
Yeah. You are talking minor.
That's right. This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
There are some misspellings.
There's a few things that were typographical errors.
Yeah.
No,
cosmetic.
I don't even think anything that would have changed the sense of the sections. So, and some of it was just conforming. I mean, this is just an example. I'm not saying this is what it is, but like, you know, some places we'd have section 11G, and then there'd be parentheses around it, or there wouldn't be parentheses. Just conforming the stylistic thing, just these nitpicky things that people like me get.
Well, I just didn't see anything marked, but then I see the two little ones that you didn't call out. So
some of the rest of it's just stuff like that. So.
Sure, okay.
Okay. Anything else from the board?
Well, I have a comment, but I'll wait till after. I want to talk about the committee meetings.
Okay. In that case, we'll take public comment.
Julie Tacker, and one of the typo things you can fix is 8.11. There's some funny spacing there at the end of that section. I don't know why it does that. I fight that all the time at my house. Okay. There are a couple of things that I've brought up, I'm pretty sure, in the past about your bylaws, and they never seem to rise to any importance for the board, and I think they really should. One, they're both in 4.3B, members of the audience who wish to address the board on any particular item shall line up behind the podium or sit in the front two rows next to the podium. That's completely and totally unnecessary, and we never conform to it, so take it out. It's useless. With regard to 4.3D violates the Brown Act. Persons addressing the board shall state their name and their general place of residence. I don't have to do that if I don't want to, and I don't want someone who wants to participate to feel like they have to do that. They don't have to do that. The public can participate in anonymity. That is the beauty of the Brown Act. And I remember seeing, where people chose not to identify themselves, participate, and they are just in the minutes, they are unknown speaker. Unknown speaker, that's okay. So I think you should take it out because I think it does violate I know it violates the law. But I don't want it. The reason I want it out is so that if someone did read these bylaws and felt like they wanted to participate, but didn't want to identify themselves, then they would be precluded from participating. So I hope, since there were no other substantive changes, we can make these rise to the level of it's time to change them. Thank you very much.
Attorney Hanley, would you explain why that isn't a violation of the Brown Act?
Yeah, and I'm not addressing the policy consideration, but the Brown Act addresses a rule that says you can't require people to state their name and address as a condition of attending the meeting. The Brown Act does not, in fact, forbid in the Brown Act those types of rules as far as making comment. That being said, that doesn't address the policy issue because sometimes it's not really relevant to you that people state their names, and sometimes, and in fact, probably it would be a lot faster to let somebody who wanted to speak anonymously speak for 3 minutes than it would be to fight with them over whether or not they had to state their name. But actually, the Brown Act has no such anonymity requirement in it except for attending the meetings. It doesn't address that right as far as speaking at the meeting.
Okay. Mr. Best.
Good evening. My name is Steve Best, resident of Los Angeles. One of the issues that I've had is, I've already used up 10 seconds here. One of the issues I've had here is the fact that, you know, if this was a meeting room that was full of people and we had people standing in line that were had a lot to say, I can understand the absolute
limit of 3 minutes per person. But you have a few people here in this room that have are here on a regular basis, and they have a lot of concerns as to how and what is going on at these meetings, and they have genuine feelings about what needs to be said. And to use the timer as not just a means of controlling the time, but as a means of, it's a form of censorship. And that is where I oppose to it. It's a way to tell people to shut up and sit down. And I object to that. The other thing is that we definitely have not conducted sufficient committee meetings this year. The number of absentees or cancellations on committee meetings has just been rampant this year, and I think there needs to be a limit on that. There needs to be justification on when meetings get canceled, and if a certain number of meetings are canceled consecutively, I think the chairmanship of that committee needs to be given to another member of the board. I think it's irresponsible. I think it's important. The work that the committees do is important, and it needs to be carried on continuously throughout the year and not just be taken lightly and as a matter of convenience, and needs to be considered as a responsibility of things that we need to be conducting here. Thank you very much.
Yes, public comment is closed.
Okay, if I can speak to two things. One is, this is a carryover issue that we have. You and I talked about this a year ago. But when we talked about this, the chairperson is for the committees and the president is for the board. And that language, that still has some discrepancies in here. So that just needs to be cleaned up. So when we're talking about the head of the board, it's the president, and we're talking about the head of the committee, it's the chair. So if we could make that one clean up, because I know it's something we talked about last year.
That makes sense to you.
I mean, like 4.3K, is that addressing the committee chair or the president?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's a one cleanup, and we talked about that before. And I think my other comment is, and I'm going to agree with a number of the other speakers, but I think under 11.1C, where it says each committee shall meet at most monthly, I have the same concern. I mean, my financial advisory committees met almost every month. There's a couple months where I didn't have anybody available to meet. But I think emergency services, I think that all the committees, I don't want to say there needs to be a penalty, but we need to just have something in here that the committees need to meet on a monthly basis unless there's extenuating circumstances or something to that effect. Those are my only two comments.
Go ahead.
Time, and we don't want to meet monthly if we don't need to. I mean, it costs us money because when and it's overtime, so I don't know if that's something we can work in, but parks is, they don't need to meet on a monthly basis sometimes. I mean, sometimes we've met back to back, but
sometimes we have not.
Yeah, and I'm speaking about, for lack of a better term, the big three.
Yeah.
UAC, FAC, and ESAC. So.
I think we need to have a general discussion outside of the context of the bylaws about how some of these committees work and how some of the stakeholders in these committees want them to work, and how we do that. Like you said, you don't want to add a penalty. I just think we should leave it as it is and decide as a board what we want to do on those other things. I mean, that's my opinion.
I'm in agreement with that. I don't think a penalty in the bylaws is a good idea. I think it's up to the committee chair. And if we don't see that that committee is meeting often enough to be effective, then we have to change the chair. That's how you deal with it.
Okay.
I don't think the penalty is...
Well, no, I wasn't espousing a penalty. I was just saying...
How do you ensure that they... I know. Yeah. It's a tough question. But I think that's up to the board to handle as a collective group rather than try and... I just don't know how you word that.
Well, maybe the thing is when the committee chairs get appointed that the committee chairs commit to having the meetings on an ad-needed basis or something. You know what I'm trying to say.
I don't want to give away the game here, but... We're going to have, you know, I mean, I'm not the president anymore, but there's something in process that you two setting the agenda for the next meeting will have to consider in that regard. That's outside of the context of bylaws. It has more to do with the stakeholders involved and where that's going. So I'm But I think we're going to talk about it next meeting anyway.
We'll definitely
talk
about it next meeting.
Okay. Just in the context of the bylaws, I think. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but just in this context, I don't know.
So at least if we could do the cleanup about president and chairperson.
Yeah, that's a good change. And that, you know, anything that can make a document like this more fun to read, or at least more clear to read,
more clear.
Is always a plus because, frankly, this is a reference. This isn't something you read for fun. You look at it to see, okay, are we following it? And the more clarity, the better. So good, yes, I support that. So should I'll make a motion to direct staff to bring us back a draft of the bylaws with the edits so far and changes to the bylaws to use the term president when referring to the board and chairperson when referring to the standing committees or the committees. Good? Okay.
I'd like to weigh in on the two things that Julie mentioned, and that the one being shall state their name. I don't know if there's a way that should state their name. Does it give people a little better feeling that we're not demanding it?
How about if we say are requested?
We're requested. That's the best way to say that. The other one in terms of lining up and that kind of thing, you know, when there's 100 people, that's not a bad policy. And we used to have those situations. So I don't see any reason to eliminate that. Like she admitted that we don't enforce it. We don't rail on people to line up. So until we need to change it, I don't see any reason to, and there could be a day when we pack the house again.
And the way I look at it with the bylaws is, okay, so we have a chairperson running the meeting, and if they violate the bylaws, then one of us can raise a point of order.
Except that we have a president running the meeting.
You lawyered me. Good. So we have a president running the meeting, and you know if they're violating the bylaws, one of us can raise a point of order. But otherwise, we just sort of let it flow. And as far as it goes with the stating where they're from, I think when you look at it from a sort of you know civil libertarian, we don't want to scare people from participating anonymously angle. I hear that. On the other hand, most folks that come down. They like it when what they said gets put in the minutes, and I've heard a lot more complaint about that not being done right than I have about I don't know a lot of people who come to public comment who are intimidated to speak because of that. I think it's just a general public speaking thing most of the time. But we want to try to do what we can to help the record reflect what the people say.
Yes.
And, you know, the gentleman who was approximately 5 feet tall with brown hair spoke it, you know, I mean, I'd be okay with making it more gentle, but I think that, you know, this is a kind of a standard practice.
Yeah, I think is requested. And I mean, it works both ways. They get a recognition. And if we have a follow-up, we can get back. We know who to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine with me too. Okay. So with those agreements, I amend my motion, and there we go.
All right. Okay. Okay, so you amended your motion. Now we need another second. An additional second.
We'll
a new second.
Oh, we're going to just direct staff. We're not going to even, guess.
I thought you said bring it back for a vote.
Right. Yeah, we can do that too. Okay.
All we needed was direction because it was not contemplated to have any action until the next meeting after we'd heard your discussion. And everyone will do their best to incorporate all the changes. But you'll be able to take action at the next meeting. You'll be able to make changes then, too. And
See that half an hour out of the chair and out of the presidency, and I forget all the rules.
It's actually been 2 hours. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. Okay. So we had no polled consent items.
Did we get a second?
We don't need one.
Yeah. Okay, we just talked about
that? Yeah, we just.
Obviously, I was clear as mud.
Always appreciate your back.
Montecito mud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Way too soon. Okay. So we didn't pull anything from consent, so we're on to future agenda items.
I'd like to reiterate the one I mentioned last month, and that would be the 4-0 staffing for the fire department.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Cesena, Director Cesena, I'll get it right eventually. Do you have any closing comments?
Happy New Year, everyone.
I'm sorry. Closing board comments?
Yes, Happy New Year. I'm glad everyone survived the holidays, and I look forward to another exciting year.
Vice President Olhilski.
I'd
like to say thank you and congratulations to the new officers. And I think that contrary to the things that bubble up every once in a while, we have a pretty good working relationship on this board, and we can continue to do that regardless of who sits where. So I look forward to a good year, and thanks again for the opportunity to be chair. President. Oy.
I was going to double what Chuck said and triple what Lou said. So.
Me too. All right. I think we're adjourned. Yeah, it has to go out next Friday, so we have to meet on no later than Tuesday. Monday, Tuesday?
Monday's good for me. Tuesday sucks.
Okay, Monday. That'd be good.
Or we can just settle it now.
I've got 4:30, 4 o'clock.
Let's see.
Whoa.
I have to find Monday. Thank you.
Okay, tell me 4 o'clock.
That's the 22nd. I'm looking to see. I have a $3.
Three o'clock.
Doctor's appointment.
On Monday.
On Monday, the 22nd.
4:30. Will 4:30 give you enough time?
I think so. I think this is just a check.
Let's plan on 4:30 Monday.
Okay.
4:30 Monday. I'll have that fine.
Thank you.
And congratulations. And your first official act is President C.
You were confident.
Both five of them.
She has to learn how to forge your signature.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine's. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's just a.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. And I had so much fun at the beginning. I wish the dog had still been here. The dog would have had something to say. I know. So, well, I imagine that there'll be such things.
He was on the road. I understand that.
What can I say? I know.
Well, I was just
wondering if those things she prints out with all the junk is left.
Okay.
Oh, he hates me.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Okay.
He has for a long time. Ever since I was on LOCAC. And okay. Julie, of course, was totally and completely wrong about what went on at LOCAC. After I became chair and started working on it, we ended up with non-hostile meetings, except for her. But other than that, you know, being a big fat liar, so to speak.
Okay.
I completely understand and agree with the policy of not engaging.
That's hard sometimes.
So
Oh, yeah. Oh, I absolutely
so hopefully.
I'm
Thank you.